Okay, we're starting from the beginning of Perek Beis. Actually, the way they broke up the Prukim, the Goyim broke it up the wrong way over here. Beis shouldn't have been over there. Because it has to do with before. Okay, Berev Kochma, Rav Kos, Yosef Das, Yosef Macha, and Matani Balibi, Machon, and Asfa Simcha Reva Tev. They put the Beis right in the wrong place because they didn't know how to study it in an in-depth form. See? But actually, it's a continuation from Kibarev Chachma Rav Kos. Prakim is from the Goyim of the Prakim. We didn't have any Prakim in Sukkim. The reason why we accepted it is because they used to have these arguments between the Goyim and our Chachamim. So they had to have one common way of referring to the Pesukim when they had the debates. So that's why they did it, so that they should become familiar with this, so that they shouldn't look foolish in the eyes of the Goyim, because we don't have any way to make a reference to a specific Pesuk. The only way we can make a reference is, there's no way almost. It's all Parsha Pesukos Stumi. You'll have to start counting the Parshas. You know what I mean? How are you going to make a reference to it? They just open up the Torah and find it. But there's no way to make an external reference to a particular part of the Torah in our system. See? Yes. The last pasuk in Perek Aleph, the Yosef Das Yosef Machayev, right? What does it mean? What he means basically is that the more knowledge a person attains of life, so the more pain he perceives. It means that the ignorance is bliss is the common expression. That's what it means. Plain shot. Because the more knowledge a person has of his own life, the more he starts thinking about it, and starts analyzing what enjoyments he has, and what he'll start to discover that many of the things he does is very ridiculous, and then he'll start losing those enjoyments, and he'll find out that everything becomes very painful. It becomes very painful. Moreover, he thinks about the future, he thinks of all the different possibilities. A person is, means in short like this. A person is under the sway of two influences. One is his intellect, and the other is his wishes. You see? Now, as long as he remains under the sway of his wishes, so then he blocks out a lot of knowledge. A lot of possibilities are blocked out because his wish fulfillment doesn't relate to it. So therefore, he aspires for certain positions. And in his mind, he blocks out the possibilities that would prevent him from attaining these positions and goals. You see, but if he suspends the rational faculty to a great degree. Now this suspension leads him to have a more pleasurable life, because if he wouldn't do it, then he would see a lot of painful possibilities. It'd be he'd become very unhappy. So actually the wish fulfillment side of his nature really blocks out the intellectual and causes him to be happy. But if the intellectual starts gaining over the wish fulfillment, then he becomes very depressed. That's not only in terms of the future, but it's in terms of the present as well. If a person has certain enjoyments, he starts analyzing them, he finds out he doesn't enjoy them anymore. Like one time, I don't know if it affected you, but one time analyzed, went through an analysis of sports, I believe it was, observing sports, and I think what was the basic definition we say was a person who observes sports. I think what comes out of it anyways, a person who observes sports is one who is attempting to discern the relative perfection of individuals with regard to a useless art. I mean, that's basically what it is. I doubt if any of these arts or any of these abilities really have any value in this world. I mean, it's very seldom you find that a person will be able to accomplish anything of great importance by being able to carry a certain object a certain amount of feet at a certain speed. It's really not going to help him much. Or even if a person is a quick runner, that wouldn't be the best way to run away from a volcano. See, to escape from a volcano, the better means we have today in these outmoded type of activities. So at any rate, if a person thinks into what he starts analyzing himself in regard to his enjoyments, So many times it will lead him to machov. Machov means painful realization, you see? And therefore, they say, that's why the world says ignorance is bliss. You're ignorant, you don't know, you don't know what's happening, you don't know what's going on. And so far as your wish fulfillments cover up all the all those pockets of danger, and whatever you're doing, you don't really analyze, so you're much happier. The happy truck driver. See? That's the that's the pasuk. Rev Chochma Rov Kos, V'yesef Das, V'yesef Machet. Kos means kas, we explain kas. Kas, we said, means when a person attempts to change reality to fit his own desires, right? So then that's kas. Kas means, why does a person get angry? He gets angry because anger is a reaction to reality not yielding and not recognizing your wishes. That's what anger is. A person gets angry at something. Something doesn't go right. He gets angry. The anger, that's the anger. It's a reaction. Anger is a reaction to a person's inability to control. He wants to control. On the other hand, the other response to an untoward event is not anger. There's either one or two responses. Either it's anger, or else it's what? No, or else it's a surrender, a yielding to reality, yielding to reality. No, I'm not talking about the work on this today. Either you yield to earlier. So who says so? It could be either one of two. Either you could yield to reality, or you could vent your anger at reality. It's the frustration of the inability to change the way of the situation. Okay, that's kas. So das leads to that also. You see, rev chokhma rov kos. Because you find that, you discover how reality actually is, and you desire to change it. Leads to kas. And yesef das, yesef machayev. And also leads to pain. Leads to two things, because it's two different areas, basically. Certain areas you'd like to change, when you know what the reality is. And other areas leads to pain, because you might not want to change it, but it leads to a certain painful realization. You see? Okay, that's the pasuk. Now, so this is where Shlomo HaMelech was at that stage. Now he said like this, Amarti ani belibi. So what's the next step? Amarti, so what am I going to do? Amarti ani belibi lechono anascha v'simcha urei v'tayiv. So the next thing is, let me anascha v'simcha urei v'tayiv. All right? So Rashi says it means like to pour himself over. I would say the Rashi's pshat is a better pshat, because Mesach Yayin Lishtais, like this. He says that it means let me pour. What does he mean over here? What's the pshat? Lachana anascha v'simcha revetayv. That's a direct result of the other philosophy. See, Chochma makes a person otzev. He sees, he has knowledge, it makes him an otzev. He has knowledge of his position, makes him sad, depressed. So therefore, what I'll do is I'll put myself in a state of mind in which I'm completely oblivious to all this knowledge, because the knowledge is painful. I'll get drunk. The life of a drunkard. What is basically the life of a drunkard? A drunkard is a person who escapes from reality. Why? With good reason. Because he agrees with the pasuk Yosef Das Yosef Machayev. That's why, right? So therefore, what does he do? So anascha b'simcha, I'll pour myself with wine. Means totally involved, you know, and totally under the yeah. That's right. Yeah. So then one other problem of yesef das yesef machayev, total enjoyment, complete enjoyment. See, that's the other solution that man has. Yeah, the solution, a way to get away from the problem. So what does he say? What's wrong with that one? Sounds pretty good, huh? Dope. That's today's dope for the society. See. The drugs. What is drugs? Drugs is lachon anasa v'simcha revetev. It doesn't matter which type of mind-changing formula you use. You use a modern one, you use an older one. So some of the modern ones are very old anyways. Doesn't matter. But it's the same objective. It's the same objective. Objective is the removal of reality, of the reality principle, in order that part of man's nature which directs his wish fulfillments should be able to take over without being impeded by the rational faculty, by the reality principle. See? This man has a problem. His problem. There's two parts to him. He doesn't work on a single wheel. He has two wheels working there. So he has to put one out of commission, and then he can enjoy the other one. Both together is very bad. See? Or at any rate, either one at this point is very bad. The one of knowledge leads to pain, and therefore he says, since the knowledge is pain, so put it out of commission, and therefore I'll enjoy myself through drunkenness. Okay. Now what does he say? Vinei gamu havel. What does it mean, vinei gamu havel? It's no good. That's no good either. Why is it no good? Same philosophy of your average workman who works, puts in a full week, and what is his enjoyment? His enjoyment is to come home at nighttime and weekends and just to involve himself in a state in which he has no thought, but just satisfaction of instincts. You see, that's basically your average worker mentality. That's the chona nascha v'silcha reva tov. See? Go out to the bar, get drunk at home, whatever. It's parties. I mean, it's all a part of that. It's all a part of the same philosophy. See? Okay. So what does he say? He says, why is it havel? What's wrong with it? Most of the world, 95% of the world live that way. And the other 5% are envious are the ones that do it. It's like this. The pasuk says, really, the next pasuk tries to explain it a little more. L'schaika marti mahoylo l'simcha maza isa. Mazoi isa. You see? Well, what does it mean? What does it mean? Now, let's take the last part. L'simcha mazoi isa. First part will remain a little leave for later. What does it mean, L'simcha mazai isa? What does it mean, L'mazai isa? That's a little bit easier than the first part. What do you mean by gain? That's the gain is that he's involved. This is the kind of life he's enjoying himself. He's enjoying himself. The answer is like this. The answer is that he recognized that there is a part of the personality that he can't block out. You see? There's a part of the personality that an individual cannot block out. And that part of the personality demands from him, in order to be happy, that he has to feel a certain sense of accomplishment. You see? Now, therefore, since there is such a thing in a human being, a person has to feel a certain sense of satisfaction, a certain sense of accomplishment. You see? So, therefore, that's what he means, L'simcha mazoi oiso. It doesn't accomplish anything. You see, what does Rashi say? Mazoi toiva oiso. Are Seifatuga, the end is just nothing. What it means is that a part of a person's nature is that he has to satisfy in his mind a certain sense of accomplishment. And if a person just would party all his life, he would immediately he'd be in a very unhappy state. Because that other part of his nature, which is looking for accomplishment, is not being satisfied. That's why you don't find people partying all their lives. You don't find it. What? A person should be sane, I mean, as much as he can, he should involve himself. Question is, what activity should I involve myself in my free time? Yeah, of course. What is it? So in his free time, he says, this should be my main... What should a person's main preoccupation be? With enjoyment and happiness from life. Isn't that what his main preoccupation should be? To enjoy life. Okay. Now the question is, of course, an average person doesn't sit down and make these type of plans. An average person just goes along, doesn't even think about what he's doing. Society's already laid out the path for him to follow, and he follows it. That's an average person in every generation. He follows whatever the generation is doing, and he does it, doesn't question. But Shlomo Melech was above this level. He said, Rashi, let's understand. What am I supposed to do? I'm supposed to go after enjoyment. Well, which enjoyment? So he started to make plans. So he said, the mind, the intelligence causes problems, so therefore the best thing is to involve myself totally as much as I can in removal of the intelligence, and simcha, and drunkenness, escape from reality. If that's the case, so that's what I should do. But then he found that that's no good. Why is it no good? Because another part of his nature catches up to him. See, a person can't be happy that way. So Rashi means, Rei Seifa Tuga. Tuga means like you feel empty. Because the other part is desirous of being satisfied, and it never reaches satisfaction. A person can be drunk for a certain amount of time, but after a while they're going to say, what am I doing with myself? What am I accomplishing? Why does he say that? If he didn't have that part of his nature, he'd be able to stay drunk all his life. But as much as he is, whatever he's going to try to do, he can't get rid of it. It's a part of human nature. That part is going to catch up with him. The part catches up with him, then he's miserable. And then that answer is removed. That's a l'simcha mazay esa. You see? That's what he says. What good does it accomplish? A person looking for a good that has to he has to reach, a certain good that he's accomplishing. That's what he says. That's the possible. See? So Marshall is asking, why did he have to experiment? You see? Shlaimelach. Why couldn't he just figure it out rationally? Okay?
Why do you need belief?
All right, you're right. First pasuk you say he thought it out, but then it says Igdalti Masoi, Banisimi Button, Natat Likramim. Goes through the whole thing, experiments, you see? Yeah, it's a good question. Leave it go. It doesn't really make any difference from the standpoint of a philosophical treatise whether he actually did it or whether he's just working out the what the possibilities are. So let's leave it go. It doesn't really interfere with our analysis, but it is a good question. Okay. So far as philosophy is concerned, your whole life is your free time. The rest of the time is not a part of your life. Because with the other time you're just wasting trying to do what you want to do. See? So that time is considered wasted. Philosophically, you only live in your free time. Okay. Saying that every pain has a every pleasure has a pain in it. That's true. Every pleasure has a pain in it. But the question is, maybe it's a good trade-off. It's worth it. You can't get any better. You have to deal with the reality. So that's why he says, but the ultimate pain comes from that other source of the mind that looks for accomplishment. Okay? Now Rashi doesn't learn this way. See, Rashi says, what does Rashi say? Rashi says, Shereisi b'nevuah sheharbeh kilkulim boim mitech schaik. Rashi has following a different plan, a different pattern over here. Rashi is saying something else. What is Rashi's pshat? What Rashi means is like this. Rashi means that if you blot out the intellect and you allow the emotions to enjoy themselves, you cannot make a compromise with the emotions. You can't make a treaty with the emotions. See? Say with the emotions, say, look, I want you to go this far. Won't work. Because the moment you blot out the intellect, the emotions start moving quickly, trying to satisfy themselves. And they know no bounds. So what happens is that eventually they will cause destruction. They will cause destruction. Self-destruction. See, that's what Rashi says. That's what Rashi brings in Dora Mabel. Brings Dora Mabel there. Yeah. Right. That's what Rashi... Rashi Dora Mabel, Nishtifu, Mitech, Reif, Teva, Sheshpat, Lam. That's the pshat. That's what he means. In Dora Mabel, all these things Rashi brings are just examples. But the basic philosophical idea is that it doesn't work because the part of man that's involved in the desires will eventually turn on the reality. You can't block out the reality principle. Because if you do, then you're going to be out of reality. Because what's going to happen is you're going to act in a way which is not in conformity to reality. In which case, you're going to harm yourself. You see? A person will... person gets drunk, so then... because of that, like he said over there, I mean, the person gets drunk, so then he wants to do other things which would be harmful. And the reality principle isn't there to stop him anymore. So he'll harm himself. See? That's what Rashi learns. Okay. The last thing we have to do, L'schoik amati mahoilo. What is L'schoik amati mahoilo? What is that? What does it mean, mahoilo? According to Rashi, there are really three attacks on this life. One attack is that once you block out reality, you harm yourself. That's Gamze Hovel. The second attack is that the part of man that looks for satisfaction because of accomplishment is no good, makes you unhappy. And now there's one more left. I don't know, we have to see if we can get it. L'schoik amati, that's a L'simcha mazo oso. Now, what is L'schoik amati maholo? That's also another criticism of the life in which a person just follows his emotions. And she says, Mureves b'b'chi v'anacha. What does that mean? I say the Mitzuda says that maholo means shiamum. If you say it means shiamum, shiamum means desolation. You see? So then it ties in, then it's the same idea. It's the same idea of desolation. You see? The same idea of desolation. Emptiness. An emptiness is an emptiness. And that's the simcha mazei eisa. It's just saying it in different words. But if you, Rashi seems to think there's a new idea in L'Shchaika Marti Mahalo. You see, it's not just a new facet, but it's a new idea. What is Rashi? Mureves b'vchiva anocha. Rashi got it from the Tirgum. L'Shchaika Amoris be'iden tzara le'tanusahu. You see, that at the time of sorrow there is laughter. See? Schok, that's right, exactly. Simcha is a state. Schok is an activity. You see? Okay. Now I think what he means is like this, perhaps. Let's understand. You see, a person has problems. Every person has problems. He has problems not because the way he thinks that the problems are really problems out there. The problems are inside, in there. You see, and that's why everything out there looks like it's problematic. There's a neat way that the mind has of mistaking the source of the problems. Source is usually considered to be external for some reason. Very strong convictions about that, you see. Yeah, so anyway, so what does he do? He has a lot of problems. So he has the reality. Reality is encroaching upon his happiness. So he has to get out of it. How does he do it? What's the process? How does he do it? He gets drunk, you see? Yeah, he gets drunk. But it's not just getting drunk. You see, in getting, there's two things that a person needs. A person has to feel a certain satisfaction with what he's doing, a certain sense of he's happy about what he's doing. But in order to get to a certain happiness, he has to sense a certain happiness. But in order to get to that happiness, he also has to remove the painful reality. You see? Now, how does he do it? Through schoik. See, schoik is the first stage. Schoik is the time when he has to... What is laughing? A person laughs at something. Laughing, the process of making a joke, is really the negation of reality. That's what it is. You see? What is a joke? A person takes something from reality and he laughs at it. So it could be, ordinarily, would be a serious thing, a very serious thing, but in his frame of mind now it becomes a joke. You see? Like people, so let's say something is very, the person is very sensitive about something, people say, don't joke about that in front of him. See? Because to him, to him, this information is very serious. Your frame of mind is, in your frame of mind you can make a joke out of it, you can laugh. But the laughter is really the opposite. The laughter actually is, stems from the removal of the problem from reality. You see? That's what a joke is. A joke is an attempt, like people say, you know, in this life you have to have a sense of humor. You can't get through this life without a sense of humor. What do they mean? They mean to say that stark reality will destroy you. You see? A sense of humor means you can sit back and laugh at the reality. Now, laughing at the reality means you treat reality in your own subjective terms, you know what I mean? In your own subjective wish fulfillment terms, and those terms seem to be very funny. See? Of course, nobody would really advise anyone to take these, if a person goes and watches a comedian, he might laugh, they might praise the comedian, they might have the highest regard for him, but no one would take his advice seriously outside of that specific theater, you see, that specific environment. Because people know that this is a time when you can allow yourself this little playing with reality, you see. You can say it's real, it's not real, you can do whatever you want. Look, this one's real, that's not real. You joke around and make a whole thing out of it. It's fine. But out there, nobody would attempt it. So nobody would say that, why do you do this? Well, I saw Jackie Mason said this and that, therefore I did it. Say, what, are you crazy? See? That's an impossibility because people recognize that this is a time when I could allow myself the liberty of taking reality and maneuvering it any way I want. And it comes out very funny, you see? The joke is an attempt to really, is an attempt that a person makes at correcting reality, you see, within the fantasies of his mind, you see? Okay, now the thing is like this. So in order to escape reality, a large part of it is schlik. Schlik is a large part of it. You see? Schlik is a large part of it. Because without schlik is a tool, a means with which a person has from escaping from reality. You see? So therefore, what Rashi says is like this. What Rashi says, he says, Mu'reves bivichi va'anocha. He means like this. He means the process is not as pleasurable as a person thinks. Because since the pleasure consists of the denial of the reality, the pain of the reality has to be there simultaneously. The joke cannot exist unless you really have simultaneously the pain of the reality. Otherwise, what's the joke? There's no need for the joke. You see? Exactly. The joke stems from, the laughter stems from the accomplishment of straightening out reality according to your wish fulfillment. You see? That's the laughter. Now, therefore, it will only last as long as you recognize the difficulty and the pain that you experienced in the reality. So therefore, he says, the enjoyment is not a pure enjoyment as you think. If you analyze it psychologically, you'll see that it's only an enjoyment because underlying that enjoyment is a lot of pain. You see? Yeah. She means, Mu'reves b'vchi v'anocha. That's the pshat. And that's what the Tirgum said. You see, that's what Tirgum says. So really, there's three attacks that he levels at the life, according to Rashi. Three attacks that he levels at the life of the average person, I mean, who considers his free time, which we said is really the main part of his life, is to enjoy himself through escape of reality. Escape of reality is all these things. Entertainment, basically. That's all we escape from reality. You don't have to be drunk. I mean, don't think you have to be drunk. It means any form of escape from reality is the same thing. It means with the mind, shikuri v'lay miyoyin. It doesn't have to be from wine. Shikuri means he's away from reality. Any type of thing like that. So therefore, there's three attacks. One attack is that what? First attack is v'nega mohavo, that it's the self-destruction. Because you can't make any peace with it. You can't make any peace with it and make any agreements that it's going to follow. It's just going to go up to a certain point. But the desire keeps on, wants more and more, until eventually, once you don't have reality anymore, it's going to harm you. That's number one. The second thing is that a part of the process, one of the components of such a life is schaik. And schaik inherently is based on pain, so it's not totally pleasurable. And the last one is that the sense of accomplishment is not satisfied, and therefore it comes to a painful conclusion. That's why nobody does it. People always say, if I had his money, why would I wouldn't work? I would go all day, I'd go travel around. That's the ilusimcha maze isa. But you know, want to know why those people can't do that? And do you want to know why you couldn't do it either? And you shouldn't think that you'll be able to do it, because you're no different than they are? The reason is because they have that component. And as long as they have that component, it's a funny thing. So this person strives and strives to reach the goal in which he can really enjoy himself. Then he finds out he can't really enjoy himself. He goes back and he works to the goal. The goal becomes the means becomes the end. And that's where he's stuck. You see? Why? Because of one pasuk. L'simcha mazei osa. That stops him. That's the way it is. Yes, Tubby. I want you to know something. If a person, just because a person analyzes, a person studies psychology, and Tobin mentioned, psychologists call it the superego. But whatever it is, I mean, just because a person analyzes it and understands it, doesn't mean he can change it. No, not subject to change. It's part of the component. The only thing is, you can analyze it, you'll see it. But it's there, it'll always be there. Okay. As a matter of fact, the very analysis will become part of that superego. Okay. Now we go into a new phase. A new phase opens up now. Tati v'libi limshech by pasagimel. Limshech by yayin es besori. V'libi noyeg b'chochma v'lechoiz b'sichlos. Ad asher era ezet tev levnei odom asher yasu tachas asher mayim. Mispar yemei chayeyem. Okay? Now what is the next move? Now he makes another move. A new move. This move has to be understood very carefully. Alright? You're right. He says now he sees that what does... He sees that the chochma is no good. Chochma leads to pain. It doesn't allow you to enjoy yourself. Knowledge doesn't allow you to enjoy yourself. That's why people don't want to be chachamim. A lot of people say that. Don't be too wise. Wise men don't understand what enjoyment is. Too smart, you start thinking about too many things. So you only want to enjoy yourself. And you notice. So therefore he sees that's no good, and then he sees what is no good also. The involvement in the escape from reality is no good. That's no good. So what is he going to do? So he'll do both. This is no good and that's no good. So put them together. You have something good. Ativa libi means that I thought into it. And what did I decide? Limshech b'yayin es besari means to keep the simcha. V'libi noyeg b'chachma. And also I'll keep chachma. V'lecha is b'sichlus. And I'll also grab on to sichlus. What is this? What's going on here? Everything. Alright? Now she says, Chazati lasu b'libi l'ahachzik b'kulam b'mishte. V'chachma u'v'sichlus. V'limshech l'adam b'mishte yayin es besari. Alright, v'libi noyeg b'chachma af im besari nimshech b'yayin libi mizgalgel b'chachma l'ahachzik b'tera. V'lecha is b'sichlus. V'dvar madem li l'sichlus. You're not the lame, okay. What is the pshat? Now we're up to Beis Gimel. Tati v'libi limshech b'yayin es besari. Okay, a triad. Three things. He has the chachma, and halalus, yayin, chachma, and sichlus, right? All right. Now, what kind of a compromise is this? Let's say a person values a certain relationship that he has. Certain relationship. He values a relationship he has with his family or with his wife. So he could value this and be very happy about it. However, many times if we'll have a little more understanding about it, he won't value it anymore. Because he'll start seeing through, hey, this doesn't always work, or there's different possibilities. Right now, she might like me, different situations she wouldn't, and he sees that he's fooling himself, you know what I mean? The knowledge, the chachma removes the happiness. See, and many other things also in life. That way. Person, now, for instance, now people are looking back to the good times of the 50s. See? Good times of the 50s. Why were the 50s such good times? Because in the 50s was a time that there was a lot of ignorance. They really didn't know, at that time they weren't concerned, at least, about the effect of all their polluting the atmosphere. They didn't know about smoking wasn't thought to be unhealthy. They didn't know about cholesterol and heart attacks and this. The person was able to enjoy himself. Have a good time. See? Yesiv das, yesiv machai. Now then they found out this is no good because of that, this is no good because of that. You get caught in between here, between there. You walk around like a stick and that's it. Don't do anything, don't eat anything, don't drink anything, father. That's it. Chachma has a tendency to remove the, remove the enjoyments because chachma penetrates the ignorant reality, and then the reality is not in line with your emotions. So that's why he gave up. That's why he gave up the chachma. He gave up the rather the what do you call it? He gave up the chachma. Right. That's why he gave up the chachma. Now, what happens over here is a funny thing. What is the next stage? What's the next stage? All right. You see, the next stage I think has two steps in it. That is like this. The first thing is, he says like this. He says, "Tanti v'libi limshech b'yayin es besari." So the first thing he says like this: there's no reason to remove myself from the pleasures of the yayin. That's number one, which means the pleasures of the removal of reality, that I will keep. However, v'libi neig b'chachma, but I will not permit this removal, this escape from reality, to harm me. It could be adjusted in a way where there are times when I can escape from the reality and drink the wine, you see, limshech b'yayin es besari, but it'll be relegated to certain areas where it's not harmful. You see, that's one thing. In other words, the first thing he says is that he sees that as an end, it's impossible. As an end, it's impossible. Limshech b'yayin es besari. As an end, it's impossible. L'chon anascha v'simcha rei v'tayv. That's wrong. You can't be anascha v'simcha. You will not see tayv. That's impossible. it's not the good. It's not the good. However, it is something which, why should I throw it away? Why should I throw it away? I mean, it's something which affords me pleasure, as an escape. So that I'll keep. However, but simultaneously, I will not give up chokhmah, so that I'll make sure that I don't suffer the consequences of the harm that could result from the chana naschol simcha. That's what he says. Okay.
Yeah.
What's the third ingredient? V'lecho is besichlos. V'lecho is besichlo. Besichlos. V'li bi noeg b'chachma v'lecho is besichlos. Yeah. What is lecho is besichlos? That's the question. What does it mean, lecho is besichlos? I think the pshat is like this. What he means over here by lecho is besichlos is the sophisticated life. That's what he means. You see? In other words, I said it like this. Chachma itself leads to pain. Then the other way, denial of chachma, mechona anascha v'simcha, also leads to a painful state. That went through last week. All right. So he said, but there still is one other possibility. Not mechona anascha v'simcha, but the sophisticated life, the life, the instincts in the sophisticated form. That was the next trial. Lechos besichlos. Lechos besichlos means that he will do things which, in other words, like the sophisticated life is like this. A difference in social classes. You have like the middle class, you have the lower class, and you have the upper class. What's the difference? It's not just a difference in how they earn their salary. There is a difference in their way of life. In their way of life. In the upper class, the enjoyments are more sophisticated. You see, are more sophisticated. A Wall Street businessman wouldn't be seen parking his car on the side of the road and pull out a sandwich. It's not, if he does, he'll hide, you know what I mean? He wouldn't do it openly. An important person has to act a certain way. There's a certain sophistication that he enjoys, you know what I mean? He has the way he dresses, the way his demeanor, what he does, everything is different about him. It's different. You come to his house, he can't just give you a cigar. It's kept in an expensive humidor. Certain sophisticated, everything is sophisticated, you see? These are the, sublimated type of enjoyments. See, that's the life of the sophisticated. It's different. Not just, he doesn't wear dungarees, you know what I mean? He doesn't wear jeans. He wears clothes that are more fine, elegant. Certain class to it, you see? Right. Yeah, that's right. That's what they say. The next life that he embarks upon is the life of the sophisticated. That's what I think the pshat in the pasuk is. I will say, yes. Sichlus means things which inherently do not make sense. Artificial things, you see? That's what sichlus means. Foolish in the sense that it's not a reality. Before it was a question of reality. Limshech bayan zora lachona naskov simcha reva taivas, just a plain taivas. You see, plain taivas. Over here it's more sophisticated. Especially that's sichlus. Sichlus means it's something which doesn't have a basis in reality. It's an artificial structure that the person sets up for himself. Something artificial. But it's basically, it really is the life of the successful businessman, you see? It's the life that's portrayed by all the magazines and by the motion pictures, you know, industries, and all these different Madison Avenue type of institutions. You understand what I mean? That's basically what it is. Life of sophistication. Okay? You understand what I mean? Yeah. Interesting part in the passage says, Ad asher era. Eizet tev levnei adam asher yaseh tachat shemayim mispayim mechayim. You see? What's the Ad asher era? What's the Ad asher era? There's two types of chachma. Originally the chachma was, the involvement, the chachma was an involvement in chachma. A constant awareness of what he's doing, an analysis of his actions. an analysis of the life that he's leading. You see? This type of chokhmah is machayev. This type of chokhmah is machayev. Because it's painful. Because he's constantly aware of what he's doing. He understands it. And he recognizes that it's nothing. He sees through it. He can't possibly enjoy himself. You see? But there's another type of chokhmah. See, v'libi noyeg b'chokhmah v'lechos b'sichlos ad asher ereh eizet toiv levnei odam ashiyas tachshmein espayim echayayim. That was like this. The chokhmah that he's talking about over here is not that he will analyze his actions. You see, not that he will analyze what he is doing. But it means that he will not allow his mind to be influenced to the point where he can't think objectively concerning what the proper philosophy of life is. You understand what I mean? That's v'libi noeg b'chokhmah v'lecha v'sichlus ad asher means that he will not see the danger like this. And the average person who lives a sophisticated life, he can't be noeg b'chokhmah. I mean, because he's overcome completely. The emotions are overcome, so he can't look at it objectively. What he means over here, v'libi noeg b'chokhmah, means not the chokhmah from before. He means that I will not allow the whatever life I'm going to be involved in, let's say in this case it's the sophisticated life, he will not allow it to overpower his reason so that he can't look at it objectively, to evaluate it objectively. But the life of Chochmah, the life in which he is constantly trying to penetrate what he's doing and analyzing what he's doing, that life was gone already. See, that was the first life, the Rav Chochmah Rav Kos. The Rav Chochmah Rav Kos means Yesod Das, Yesod Machlokes, means a man who thinks about it or analyzes. All his enjoyments in life will find the Yesod Machlokes. Yesod Das, Yesod Machlokes, you see? But so you have to suspend the analytical part of your nature. So he says like this. He left the Chochmah before. He suspended the analytical part. However, there's one thing that he's retaining. He's retaining the ability to be able to think objectively concerning his way of life. In other words, not to come under the domination of the particular enjoyments that he's involving himself with, which is basically the life of the sophisticated life. You see, the sophisticated life. Yes. Lechaz b'sichlus means he's going to embrace the life of the artificial life, the life of sophistication. You see? But simultaneously, he will not permit it to destroy his process, his ability to evaluate, to destroy his philosophical mind, to come under the total domination of the enjoyments, so that he will not be able to observe it objectively. You see? Yes, he is. Ad asher ereh. Ad asher ereh is important. What's the ad asher ereh in the pasuk? The libi noeg b'chokhmah v'lechos b'sichlus ad asher ereh eizet toiv livnei adam asher yatsetach shmai mespeyim echayam. Until he'll be able to see, then once he sees what the good is, then that's it. He doesn't have to worry about it anymore. You see, he doesn't have to worry about it anymore. He can spend it forever after that. Once you find what the good is, there's no need to think about it anymore. Okay? That's the difference between the first chokhmah and the second chokhmah. There's two different expressions of chokhmah. The main two criticisms of the previous life was what? The main two was... The first one is the danger of being destroyed. You see? By the emotion itself. That's the first one. That does not exist in the sophisticated life. Because the mind works. Sophisticated life, the mind works. The mind works together with the tivus. You see? That's one. Two, what was the second big danger? The second danger. That there's no sense of accomplishment. But that's the third, rather. The third one. Yeah, the other one doesn't, needless to say, the other one doesn't, there's not over here. Because over there, l'schoik, where a person leaves a state of, he wants to put himself in another world, so he has to remove the pain. But over here, it's a constant, he doesn't go from one swing from one to the other. It's a constant state. Sophisticated life is a constant state. He walks around, he's always in a state of sophistication. He always can enjoy sophistication. So he doesn't have to go through, it's not ma'uriv b'tzar b'bechi. And also, the third thing is, that was the third point. The third point was that the accomplishment. That's what it is, sophistication. That's why it's a natural result from the natural progression from before. See? Let's go step by step. Step by step. This feeling of sophistication, which the Rebbe refers to as majestic, you see, is really the objective that the wealthy man is looking for, the businessman, so the successful man is looking for. That feeling is the most important thing of all this business. Not the money. He thinks it's the money. The only thing is that without the money, you can't justify it. It wouldn't come about without it, you see? It's a strange thing. You must have the money in order to have it. You can't walk around sophisticated on your pauper. You don't know where your next meal's from. But that feeling of sophistication, that sense of sophistication, is what the man is after. The money's only a means, because the more money he has, the more sophisticated he can feel. You see? But it's the feeling is that satisfaction, not sophistication. What is the, take a look, like, what's the difference really, practically speaking? I don't know what it's now, but they used to say it's $300 difference between a Chevy and a Cadillac for the company there, for General Motors. You see? But now maybe it's a little more. But thousands of dollars charged more. Why? What is really an expensive car? What is a more expensive car? More expensive cars, more plush. He doesn't have to move his hand for as far. These little thing, just a little button over here, takes care of itself, you see? Sophistication. That's sophistication. That's who they cater to. All these Madison Avenue type of salesmanship. That's what they're catering to, that emotion of sophistication, that emotion of majesty, majestic, you see? That's the emotion that they're looking for. That sophisticated man. That is the next type of life that he tries. Certain aura about the person. You know what I mean? A special type of shirt that's a little more comfortable. Everything's a little more comfortable, a little more plush. He has to work a little less. You know, all these things build up that image of sophistication.
That's right.
That's what they call, you ever hear the term, the nouveau riche? Mm-hmm. The nouveau riche is a man that doesn't have any class of sophistication. Yeah. And why is this so? Because, you see, what disturbs the wealthy is that they recognize that it's an acquisition. They maintain it's not so. See, they maintain that you have the money, you're a nouveau riche. You don't have the class and sophistication that comes with having the money in the family for generations and generations. Well, we're totally different. We are different than you. And then it depends. This thing has to be worked out. You know what I mean? Whatever everybody does, they do it differently. They do it differently. It's all worked out. It's the whole system. But the main emotion there is sophistication. That's the emotion. All righty? Okay. Nigdalti Masoi. Bonisili botim natatili kramim. Asisili ganes apadesim natati vohem eitz kolperi.
Right?
Asisili breches mayim. Vashkes mehem yaat sameach eitzim. Kanisi avodim shvachos bnei bayis hayali mikne bakar tzoyin harbe. Mikol shoyal afonei virishalayim. What is the life? Okay. All right? That's... Kanasti li gam kesef ezor v'sgulos ha-melochen v'amdineis asis li shorim v'shoris v'sa'anugais b'nei adam shida v'shideis. You see, it's an interesting thing. I will go along with Rashi's pshat over here in shida v'shideis. The Evan Ezra says that shida v'shideis is nashim, he says, because nashim isn't mentioned in the whole business. So how could you have all the tanugas b'nei adam in the whole business without the nashim? So he says, "Thus is Nashim." Fresh Shlomo Melech, he says, "Yehem Nashim, v'yero lava tanugis bnei Adam, v'oit shehiskiya divrei kol taivas oelam ibinyan unetiya miknas gula shemaya shirim vein zichrein la Nashim." Rashi says, "No, shida v'shidais is markevois noi agolay sov." What is that? The Cadillacs, the Lincolns, the Continentals. You see. That's the practical car. That's what I told me that when Simon Cohen went to when he wanted to buy a Rolls Royce. Why do Rolls Royce require an interview? Exactly. A certain class attached to this thing. That's right. It can't be class. Not every plut can have a Rolls Royce. What? Nishkin cover for Zay. There's no cover for them, you see?
They didn't
allow it. They didn't allow it. You see? That's right. Why did Rashi didn't say Nashim? What did Rashi do with the problem with Nashim? The answer is very simple. Why? Because over here he's speaking about sophisticated taiva. That's why the Nashim aren't there.
That's not the
Stam Taiva's list, that's a Stam Behemoth. It doesn't mention that. Because that's not the picture, the scene that's being drawn over here. I would answer the Evan Ezra's Kasha. Okay. The Gadalti Vaisafti Mikol Shehoi Elefonai Birushalayim. That's that Mikol Shehoi Elefonai Birushalayim. Why does he say that? The highest form. That's inherent in sophistication. The highest form. No one came near me. In the manner in which I was able to live in terms of setting up every little thing precisely, exactly, the whole system that surrounded him with its aura and everything else. No one ever came near before. It was the greatest. Okay, it's part of it. Now. But I want you to understand, see, when it says Afkach Masi Amdali means that why is he mentioning it again? Afkach Masi, and he says, Afkach Masi means that he still didn't fall prey to the emotion which was so overpowering in that life of sophistication, and he was able to retain the objectivity. That's Afkach Masi, Afkach Masi Amdali. Right? Okay?
Yeah.
Interesting Chazal. Chazal say, Af Chachma Shi'amdali. Af Chachma Shalamadati Ba'af. Okay? They say that the Rambam says also that Divrei Torah is not nickness in a person who just Mas'atzel Aleihem. Guys, this by Gemara and thinks about the learning easily. It doesn't really work hard. He says, Af Chachma Shi'amdali. Requires a tremendous amount of energy expenditure. Yeah, kas. Okay. But why in this pasuk? Why does it come out? Why does it express in this pasuk? See, why in this pasuk? Because in this pasuk it was necessary to have an energetic reaction for the chachma in order to oppose the other forces which were overpowering him. You see? In other words, the force, since he was attempting to give free rein to the life of sophistication and to allow its enjoyments to penetrate, you see? So, in order to remain objective, there had to be an opposing force with regard to the Chachma. That's Af Chachma Siyamdali. Yeah. V'chol asher osholu einai le'atzalti mehem. Emanati es libi mikol simcha. Right? Ki libi someach mikol amoli, v'zeho yochelki mikol amoli. What's up, Shat? Yes. V'simchosi ba'amoli hoysa schar yigiyasi. What does it mean? Interesting thing. He says, what's the pshat? He's saying that the happiness resulted from the means, not from the end. Do you understand what I mean? In other words, like this. The person works, he works. He goes into work, right? Now he's extremely excited, very happy about his business. Now he's happy about his working, right? Now what is he working for? Is he working for an objective? Yes. He has to know what he's working for. He's working for an objective, right? Okay. But the objective doesn't really bring him the happiness. What brings him the happiness is the working. So it's a strange phenomenon. You understand what I mean? In other words, the man goes to work, and he works for an objective. You see? Now the happiness results not from the objective, but it results from the means, from the working itself. You understand? The happiness results from the working itself, not from what he's working for. That's what he says. That's the pshat. Ki libi someach mikol amoli, v'zeo yochelki mikol amoli. From all the work, the only thing that he has was the libi sameach mikol amoli, was the simcha that resulted from the work itself. So it's really a vicious circle. You see? It's a vicious circle. Alright? Do you understand what I mean? That's why, you see, that's why, for instance, that's why you find people always wonder. They see a businessman and say, why doesn't the guy retire? Why doesn't he go enjoy himself like I'd like to do? The answer is, because this pasuk, v'zeho yochelki mikol amoli. What keeps him going is a certain happiness that he derives. But the happiness that he derives is from what? It's from the working itself, you see. The working itself demands, he has to have the work in order to have the happiness. The moment the work ceases, that's the end of it. The objects that he's working for will not give him the happiness. Okay? It's a strange phenomenon. That's what it means. V'zeho yochelki mikol amoli means one thing. You know what? That the satisfaction was from the means and not from the end. Okay? You see, the next pasuk follows through. Because the next pasuk says, "Fanisi ani b'chol ma'asai she'osu yodei v'omol shemaltu la'aseis v'nei akol hevel urus ruch v'en yisrein tachas ha'shamash." Right? So the actual objects that he did, that he accomplished, are nothing. The only thing that he had was the enjoyment of the work. Okay? So you have Pasuk Yud Aleph. So you have three terms here. Akol Hevel is one term. Hevel is one term. Ruus Ruach is two. And then Ein Yisrein. Tachas HaShemesh. Three things. Three terms, right? Okay. We have to define these three terms in the framework in which he's operating, and is in the light of his definition. Of the phenomena that he's discussing, which is the sophisticated life, right? Okay. What is the sophisticated life? You see, the whole thing here is a sophisticated life. I'll prove it to you, because he says like this. The Ebenezer says in Pasuk Yud Beis, the next Pasuk. Ufanisi, he says, V'sichlasu habinyin uknei sahayin. Okay? That's what the sichlus is. That's the pshat that we gave, right? Life of accumulation of wealth. Sophistication. Sophisticated enjoyments. Now, really, in the sophisticated... What is a sophisticated enjoyment? Sophisticated enjoyment differs from the ordinary base enjoyment in two ways. In two ways, really. In one way, it differs like this. In one way, it differs because it carries with it a feeling of self-importance. You see? Sophistication carries with it the feeling of self-importance. And that's what we were talking about last week. The life of the sophisticated is everything is different. See? He has to have a special car, special features, little things to cater to his little needs, you know, bathing himself, all this type of thing. Why? Because this all expresses one thing. His own self-importance. He's special, he's different. He has a special importance, different, you see? That's one aspect of the sophisticated life, feeling of importance. With that also, there's another trend. The other trend is the sophisticated life consists of the aim-inhibited instinctual gratification. Like, it's really, the instinctual gratification is not of a base nature. But it's removed from the instinct, from the level, the direct level of the instinct, from directly, it's removed from the direct satisfaction of the instinct. You see? You understand what I mean? Those two things really comprise the sophisticated life. Those two things. That's what it is, really. What? Really, you could see it really in something like etiquette. See, what is etiquette really? The sophistication of the instincts. The instinct is basically to take the chicken with your hand and put it in your mouth. That's it, need it. But no, etiquette demands that there is a distance between you and the chicken. The chicken, first of all, has to have be placed in a specific spot. It requires a certain an object, a plate. It's not just you just grab it, you see. That's number one. And secondly, you don't use your hands, but you use a fork. What purpose does a fork serve? A fork serves the purpose of placing a distance between you and the food. See? It impedes the satisfaction of the desire. It impedes the direct satisfaction. You see? So etiquette really, you see, etiquette, and then what happens is like this. Then there becomes a certain beauty attached to the etiquette. See? In other words, what we have here is a substitution. Instead of the base desire being satisfied, we substitute another type of satisfaction. You see, this satisfaction is removed from the instinctual. Removed from the instinctual. That's where the whole system of etiquette basically, you see? That's why we said last week that it doesn't mention the nashim according to Rashi. That's the base desire, really, see? Okay? So that's really what the sophisticated life is. Now, since it consists of these two things, you see. Now, he says like this. He says it's hevel and ruus ruach. How do we define hevel? Hevel, we said, means something which is empty, which is a fantasy. It's not in reality. It's hevel. It's empty. It's worthless. Okay? The reason why it's hevel, hevel means it's like, it's nothing. Why is it nothing? Non-existent. Because the concepts of importance, of self-importance, which go with the sophisticated life, are really not based on reality. See? There is no reality to substantiate it. There's no reality to substantiate it. It's only a phantasm of the mind. You know what I mean? The mind imagines that he's very important. But the truth of the matter is that there is no real importance attached to any one individual. He may feel that he's important, but in actuality, it is nonsense. There's no importance. There's no reality here in terms of the object of his desire. You understand what I mean? You see, it's imaginary. It's only imaginary. That's number one. The second thing, Ru'us Ruach, what is Ru'us Ruach? Ru'us Ruach means... The word Ruach Ruach means it can be described as depressing. Ruach Ruach means depressing. And depressing and something that leads to unhappiness. To unhappiness. The reason is, you see, the reason is because since the instincts are being thwarted in the life of sophistication, since the instincts are being thwarted, so there is no, not only is there no satisfaction, you see, but those objects which you use, on the contrary, make him more depressed, because they demand more satisfaction. They whet the appetite of the instinct, and they don't lead to satisfaction. On the contrary, what they lead to is more desire. You understand what I mean? A person cannot be satisfied through such a process. Like, let's say a person has all these sublimated type of objects. You see? They will not lead to a satisfaction. On the contrary, it will lead to him desiring more. Yeah, more frustration. That's Ruach Ruach, frustration. See, unhappiness. It leads to his desiring more of these objects. You follow? No. You understand? If the instinct is satisfied, yeah. So then he's finished. He's finished with it. Right. But if you're dealing with a constant state of not satisfying the instincts, you see, so it's a never-ending process, because it's like you're teasing the instincts. So you give it a little tease, so you go there. But then when you go there, you want to go further, because the instinct has never been satisfied. Do you follow what I mean? You see? So that's why what he's saying is, Ruach Ruach means, as long as the person's involved in it, he won't see it. Because if he's involved in it, he keeps on traveling naturally toward further and further, towards the satisfaction. But the truth of the matter is that he's never going to get to the satisfaction. So he has to keep on moving. So if he stops, and here's Shlomo is talking when he stopped. Stop, you see? Fani seni b'chol amalai. B'chol ma'asai she'asu yadai. B'chol amalai she'amal glasais. So he stopped. If you stop, you see, then you realize that these things are. Then you realize that these things are, on the contrary, are frustrating. Why? Because since they don't really satisfy the instinct, so it's a never-ending process. It's a never-ending process. From one situation of unsatisfied instinct, he has to move ahead to the next situation. If he stops, just to have what he's got, will not satisfy him because there was no satisfaction of the instinct to begin with in this situation. Because it was a sophisticated type of situation. You see? That's what he means. That's what he means by Rissarov. You see? As long as in this situation, over here we're speaking, like I mentioned last time, that the goal only exists for the means. It's a means without a goal. So there is no real... the self-importance is based upon the fact that there's an assumed goal. There's an assumed goal. I mean, you can't have self-importance for what? For being a fool. Yeah, so the self-importance has to be based upon the fact that there is something really fantastic there that he's working for. He's working for something that's extraordinary, you see? But if... Now, in that situation, he feels tremendous importance. It's a fantastic thing. He's doing an unbelievable thing.
Right.
However, if he should stop, you see, that's why he says, Ki libi sameach mikol amoli, v'zeh yachalki mikol amoli. What was the chalki mikol amoli? The simcha of the amelus was the only thing he had from the amol. That was the only thing that he had, was the simcha of the amelus. But the actual goal was worthless. That's as if Phoenicia ni b'chol ma'asai. But when I took a look at the objects that I had, the only enjoyment I had was as long as I was traveling along, as long as I was involved in it, because I felt the self-importance. And there is such a thing, you feel self-importance, right? And he has the sophisticated pleasures. But the moment he stops, and he takes a look at what the goal is, just a second, why do I feel that these things are important? They're important because they serve because I'm working at something which is important. Let me take a look at what I'm working at. The ma'asai. Let me take a look at that. That he sees is nothing. There's nothing really of value there. It was just a fantasy of the mind. The reason why I gave it value was because I needed something to do. Do you follow what I mean? The importance stems from the need for importance, not from a reality. In other words, it comes out that a person is working very assiduously towards a goal, but not because there's a real goal to work for, but because he needs a goal in order to work to feel important. Do you understand what I mean?
He's inventing a system.
The need is an internal need. It's not an external need. You see? Now, if he stops, the moment he stops and he takes a look at the objects, he's going to be in trouble. You see? Because the objects per se, if you look at the things that you acquired objectively, they really have no value. And therefore, all your actions have no importance. You follow what I'm saying? And not only that, but your instinctual desires were not only not satisfied, but they were left frustrated. You understand what I mean? That's what he's saying, basically. That's what he's saying. Yeah, that's what he's saying. That's what he's saying. That's how it works out. The important things that people think, the big business world, they think they're involved in, are only important because they need something important to be involved in. That's what it is. Essentially, he's saying that this, all the Knei Sahain, successful businessman, has no objective value. It's a subjective thing, which he needs to know to satisfy the importance. Would he stop for a moment and take a look at, in other words, if he goes along with a fantasy all his life, yeah, fine. But if he would stop for a moment and take a look at what he has in front of him, he would see immediately that it's valueless. Not only valueless, but it's just rough. Valueless because he has no objective value, number one, and it's just ruach because he has not satisfied his instincts. Okay? That's basically what it is. Of course, Shlomo HaMelech was a philosopher. A philosopher couldn't be happy with this. Because he stops, he takes a look at what he's doing, he sees this is ridiculous. See? But the average person doesn't do that. The average person keeps on going all his life. And before he dies, he says, what did I do? What a waste of my life. But in the meantime, during his lifetime, we'll keep on going. Yeah, what's it all worth? The whole thing's not worth it. Yeah, we know that, right? But but during his lifetime, he won't allow himself to feel that way. What? The person who can fool himself. And it can endow all his activities with importance, even though in reality they have no importance. But he'll never stop like Shlomo Melech did. Phoenicia ni b'chol ma'asa, shiasa yadai. So he'll be happy, because he can go on, and he could enjoy himself. You see? All right? That's the question. Good question. That one part of the mind, he has to see, since a person has a reality principle in him, he has a part of the mind that sees reality, right? There's something in there that sees reality. So he has to deny. He has to deny this this process of reality. So denying the process of reality already means that one component of his nature has to be suppressed. Now, the moment you have suppression, there's inherently dissatisfaction there. Because suppression means one part of your nature is being blocked. So that part is not being happy. That definitely is true. So from that score, he definitely is losing. That's number one, he's losing. Secondly, the story of Diogenes and Alexander the Great. Diogenes was a philosopher. And lived very meagerly. And Alexander the Great went over to him and asked him, said, please tell me whatever you want, I'll give you. The great philosopher, I'll give you whatever you want. He says, kindly move away, you're blocking the sunlight. You see? You know, why is this? This is the breakdown of all the Alexanders, all the Alexander the Greats. Why is it the breakdown? Because down deep they know that they can't justify the importance they attach to their activities. So they endow their activities with tremendous importance. But down deep they know there is no objectification for it. You see? And when they see somebody who can actually live that way, that really doesn't recognize it, that's in reality, that is the greatest threat. That's their nightmare. You see? Which means, yeah, which means that a part of the mind has to always be blocked out. So full happiness is unattainable. You see? That's number one.
Okay.
Second thing is like this. Secondly, since he's involved in a world in which his instincts are not being satisfied, because the sophisticated life is not the life of satisfying instincts, but it's satisfying them half-heartedly, so to speak, right? Since that's the case, he's always in a state of frustration from his instincts. So, on two scores, he's unhappy. He's in a state of frustration, and he has to block out one component of his mental life. All right? Okay. Now the question is, of course, but why does he think he's very fortunate and very happy? You see? Well, the truth of the matter is that's also a myth. That's also a myth, number one. People think that he thinks he's happy. You see? But the truth of the matter is that whether he's happy or not is not such a simple thing as we imagine. Most of the time, people think that those who live those type of lives are happy because their own fantasies would want to live that way, and they project the happiness onto the guy. And that's why they're usually astounded when they find that, hey, that guy committed suicide. Whoa, this guy. Look what happened. They're very surprised. The truth of the matter is the objective studies that psychologists make with regard to those individuals do not show that they're more happy. On the contrary, if I remember correctly, I think they say that they maintain they're less happy. Less happy than the average, yeah. That's what they maintain. Say so the middle is more happy. The middle income is more happy than the, in terms of happiness, than the, upper class. Upper class is less happy. Okay. So the reason why people don't accept it is because of their fantasy to get there. Their fantasy to get there, which is their own fantasy, you see, doesn't permit them to think that they won't be happy in that situation. Like one psychoanalyst wrote, he says, most of my patients feel that if they had more money, they would be very much happier. He says, but nothing is further than the truth. He says the fact remains that more money would probably, on the whole, make them less happy because it introduces a lot more problems and conflicts. A lot of the conflicts can surface much more readily because of the new situations that would arise. This way, he doesn't have the ability. He doesn't have that much of a. He doesn't have that much ability to express the conflict. You see, but there is no basis for that assumption. There is no basis in reality for the assumption that the increase in monetary wealth and in the life of a greater sophistication lends itself to any happiness. There's no support for it in reality. So that's number one. Okay? Most people cannot give up that fantasy because to give up that fantasy in their own lives would make them very unhappy because then they have nothing to look forward to. Because they're not, that's right. Because they themselves are really no different than the wealthy. They really, in the sense that they're striving for the same thing, you see? It's just like a ladder. Everybody's trying to get to the top. So a few guys on top of you, but the point is that they're all going the same direction. See? So that's why most people can't give up their fantasy. Most people say, hey, if they really came to that conclusion, they'd be very depressed because they feel that there's nothing more to go for. You see? That's the first thing. The second thing is, just because a person says that he's happy is no proof that he is happy. You see? Because just like in any area, if a person says what a thing is, we cannot accept him as an authority unless he knows what it is. Isn't that true? And if a person says that he's happy, we cannot accept his word unless he knows what happiness is. But what is the assumption? Why should we assume, or where do we know that he knows what happiness is? You see? He doesn't know He never analyzed. He never even thought about it. As a matter of fact, if you'll ask him to define it, he wouldn't even be able to. You see? He never has even reflected on the matter. Now, how can you accept a man's opinion in an area where he himself has never even reflected upon it? You know what I understand what I mean? Just like a person can say he feels healthy, and he could actually be sick, you see? I'll give you an example. A person could have an illness. And he could be ill from his early youth, and he always feels a certain weakness, tremendous weakness. Then one day he feels a little bit better. The man will say, "I feel good." You see, the reason why he feels good is because he's comparing it to the times that he had before. That's all. He doesn't really know what feeling good is objectively. That's only possible in a person who has experienced real health and knows what it is. Now the same thing is true with happiness. A person might say he's happy because his criteria for the way he feels are based upon his experience. He never has been happy. He might have been less happy in the past, or should we say he might have been more miserable in the past. And therefore he will say now that he's happy because this time is happy. Does he know how good he can feel? Does he really understand how good the man can feel, what the possibilities are of his really feeling good? He doesn't know that. He doesn't know what it is. So he will say, now I'm happy, judging by what general happiness is. He'll look at his neighbor, look at this guy, I'm pretty happy. You see? You understand? But he doesn't really know what happiness is in terms of the organism, what the organism can experience itself. Now, since he doesn't know what that is, how could he be an authority in saying what it is, saying that he's happy? The only one that could say that he's happy is one who has experienced what the organism is capable of in totality. You see? If you haven't, so then you're like a crippled guy who feels he could move very well because today he can walk a little faster than he could yesterday. You see? If there's nobody else in the world, you think he's a fast runner. You know what I'm saying? You see? He's making a comparative, his judgment is a comparative one, not an absolute one. You see? That's why you can't trust the person when he says he's happy. And I'll give you an example. There are people who you could be with a person who considers himself very happy, and you stay with him for an hour or two. You see, he gets angry at his wife, gets angry at his kids. He didn't enjoy his supper. He's upset. You know, I say, how can you say you're happy when you go through all these things? What do you mean? Everybody's like that. I'm very happy. I'm very happy. You see, the answer. What's the pshat? The pshat is it's not a steerer. The pshat is he doesn't realize what happiness is supposed to be like in order to make the judgment. So he says he's happy. What is it based upon? It's based upon a relative type of a judgment. We can accept such a judgment. I mean, if you're really interested in the truth, maybe man is capable of being totally happy where nothing bothers him, where he's totally in a state of relaxation. He doesn't know what it is. He doesn't know what he's talking about. You understand what I'm saying? A person, and another thing also that influences the person a lot of times will convince himself that he's happy from other sources. Like he'll say, look, the guy next door, look at this guy. This guy doesn't have half as much as me. He'd love to be what I am. I must be happy. You see? Yeah. So, he has to convince himself already. You see? The important thing to know is that emotionally, everybody thinks that they know what happiness is for some reason. They know they don't understand medicine, they don't understand physics, they don't know mathematics, all these things have to be learned. But happiness, everybody knows what it is. There's such a human assumption. If you want to really be a philosopher and really understand life, the first thing you have to do is rid yourself of that assumption and recognize the fallacy of it. You see? Otherwise, there's no kahalas. Otherwise, we'll forget it. That's the basic premise. Okay. Then he says also the last thing was, Ve'en Yisrein Tachas HaShemesh. What's Ve'en Yisrein Tachas HaShemesh? That we explained already. What is Yisrein? Yisrein means, how do we define Yisrein?
Right?
Yeah, Iberik. What does it mean, Iberik? It means like extra. It means, I guess, it means a person is not looking in life for just plain satisfaction, achilish. See, a person is looking for something extra. There's a person by nature is looking. He needs something extra. A Yisrein he needs. You see? Right? That's what he wants. He's looking for it. So he looks here, he looks there. He needs something, you know? So he says, over here, there's no Yisrein. There's no Yisrein over here, my friend. You take a look at it, it's Hevel, it's Rus Ruach, and there certainly is the Yisrein doesn't exist. You see? That's the three terms, okay? All right. All right, next pasuk. Pasuk of days. Ufanisi ani lirois chokma vohelus kasichlos. Interesting pasuk. Ki meho adam sheyovai achrei hamelach esa shekvar asu. It's like this. What he's saying is like this, really. You want to think about it?